216-474-0092. It's a Browns Therapy Monday right here on Baskin and Phelps.
92.3 The Fan is looking for a winner. I need you to enter the word cheer, C-H-E-E-R, cheer, at 92.3thefan.com by noon for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra and the Lost Christmas Eve, presented by the Minutemen family of companies. That's Friday, December 27th at 3 p.m. at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Again, the word is cheer. And again, tickets on sale Friday, September 13th at 10 a.m. at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. RocketMortgageFieldhouse.com. A portion of the proceeds benefit the St. Augustine Hunger Center, courtesy of Live Nation and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. The word is cheer. The place to go, 92.3TheFan.com.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong on this.
You're wrong.
Okay.
Sure.
It's just easier.
It's easier to concede.
Tell me if this is a wrong way to look at it. Look at this. If it's too realistic. If it's too calm. Okay.
Okay.
The Browns played a terrible game. They looked unprepared.
Yep.
They looked not coached well. They looked not very talented.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look dominant on defense. I think the defensive game wasn't as bad as it could have been, but still. James sent me an email. He made a very, very valid point. He said back-to-back games, teams have scored 45 and 33 on the Browns. That's a really valid point, James. That's a real valid point. And he said, have teams figured something out? I don't know. All right, but it's a real valid point. My thought is this. Tell me if this is too calm. Okay, one game, they were awful. If the offense looks this bad and the defense looks as meh as it looked yesterday against Dallas.
I don't know. They were in the field.
Hold on. Okay. After next week against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Then it's time to think, okay, what's going on here? This is a problem. This is a problem, and it needs fixed and blah, 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 blah. Yesterday, I chalk a lot of it up to, hey, Dallas is a really good team.
Yeah, that's another part we don't really tend to see.
Dallas has a pretty dang good offense. They have the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
They have a great wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb. And Ezekiel Elliott turned back the clock. It must have been the number 15. And the Browns' offense was going up against a dynamite defense that looked even better than it looked in the past with Mike Zimmer now as coordinator. Is that too calm? Is that too rationalizing what was a bad, bad, bad performance by this team?
I think everything you're saying is 100% legit, and it all falls in line with many of the reasons they lost. And then you add the fact that your quarterback didn't look ready. Your offense didn't look ready. They're out of sync. You took way too many penalties yesterday. The defense was on the field way too long in that first half. Way too long. So why would we be surprised by what we saw in the second half? Little things that normally don't happen happened in yesterday. I watched Amari Cooper drop a football. I never thought I would ever watch him drop like that.
And so, he had to extend a little bit, Andy, yeah. But it hit him right in the hands.
Yeah, it was just like, I'm giving him a pass. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Plus, you lost David Njoku. Who knows what he's going to look like?
Oh,
he walked out of there in a boot yesterday.
That's not what you want.
There are just too many things that they did not look like a professional football team yesterday.
Running game was non-existent.
I thought that was one of my keys to the game.
Yeah. I said they have to run the football. They were terrible. You didn't have your starting tackles. If you don't have your starting tackles, blah, 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 I don't care after one game. If it happens again against a lesser team in Jacksonville, though I think Jacksonville, I mentioned last week, I think they're a team that could surprise this year. If the Browns look as bad as they looked against the Cowboys against Jacksonville, then I think you've got big issues. And there are drastic things that could happen after that, I think, that would be valid. But we'll see.
Let's just hope that Dallas is really, really, really good and that we caught them early on in the season.
Browns were unprepared, flat, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's the other part.
And it's one game.
Yeah, even as good as Dallas is, it's the unprepared part for the Browns that bothers me more.
They looked unprepared, didn't they, Andy?
Yes. The alignment penalties are just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, I could see one.
Cowboys had as many penalties in the game, though, as the Browns did, which I thought was strange.
You know what? It felt like, I won't say it.
And they were together with the same, you know, same offense, same everything else. Number to join us, 216-474-0092. We're going to let everybody vent today. We're going to have a lot of fun with this, aren't we?
Yeah.
Let's go to the state of Texas. Jeremy's in Fort Worth. Hello, Jeremy. Cool.
Hey guys, I love y'all, and I love the Therapy Monday, especially because I'm actually a therapist. But just for context, cool. I'm a 50-year-old, you know, lifetime Browns fan from Cleveland, and but I'm more of an emotional fan more than like an analytical fan. So okay. This is where I'm coming from. But I felt the first round of boos yesterday. I felt like that was valid. Those were the people like myself from day one who were upset about the Baker Mayfield trade, who were upset about Watson, and then really lost their minds when we let Flacco go. You know, that's what it feels like to me. It feels like to me that, like, at some point, will Cleveland Sports Radio or Cleveland anybody validate those fans from day one who were calling this game, you know, from the very beginning? That's one part of it. I also think Watson is a little bit of a, I don't want to say a cancer on the team, but he's got such a flat affect, and he doesn't seem like a leader or like he wants to be there. And so that's kind of troublesome. In terms of even some of the unprepared stuff. I just don't think he's inspiring that team, if that makes any sense. That's where my head's at.
No, Jeremy, I think that does make sense.
Well, I mean, it was Jameis Winston that was leading the guys on the field before the game, so working with the ones, and he was getting them fired up. But, I I'm not making excuses, and I don't know how much of an impact it may have had in the game, but, I mean, if – and I don't know what the relationship there was, and I don't know if it was expected, and I don't know. But, I mean, Deshaun lost his dad 2 days ago, so there's a part of me that's keeping that in consideration of what emotionally yesterday might have been like for him. So,
well, let me ask you an honest question. As far as you guys, you're analytical, you know the deal, and you got to represent the city in sports radio. When is it time to put the other quarterback in? Like, you know, what is the circumstance?
You mean
like
in yesterday's game in particular or long term?
Long term.
Like we'll give him the second game.
Based on the contract after next season.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Right? We've discussed this. Next season, yep. Based on the contract.
I said this all summer. If it's not working this year, I don't know how you go into another year of it. I mean, I think Deshaun has to play.
I think financially, they're going to have to go into another year on this.
It doesn't mean you have to play him, does it?
No, that's true.
Doesn't mean you have to play him. Todd's in Ward 1. Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Yes, it is being too calm, Jeff. I know you're there, Andy. I wanted to address the question first.
Oh, yeah. Todd, I was just trying to figure out who was on the line. Oh, it's Todd. Okay, go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, it is being too calm, Jeff. It's being much too calm. This was no better play or coaching than what we just saw a few months ago in Houston. No better at all, zero. And it wasn't a matter of them being unprepared. They just got pushed around. It looked like one team was in the weight room more than the other. That's exactly what it looked like on the line. So I watch Watson, and I say the same thing I said last night. That's all we're going to get from him. He still has enough around him to get to where we want him to go, but don't expect anything better. And it's time to really start thinking aggressively or moving aggressively. Who are we going to get to replace him? Because that wasn't just him, but I'm talking about him right now. They just got pushed around, man. They look like they just weren't in the weight room as much as the Cowboys were. And then I have a question. I want to ask this so you can answer off the air. They got the same number of penalties, but did their penalties add up to the same number of yards lost and downs lost? All right.
There you go. Todd. Penalties, 11 for 85 yards for
both teams had 11.
Yeah. We had 11 for 84 yards.
Both had 11 penalties.
64 for us, sorry, 64. But they were silly penalties. We had silly penalties yesterday. Right? Lining up wrong? Come on. It's the NFL.
There were tons of teams, the Ravens lining up in illegal formations because their tackles were not on the line. There were some strange things in week one all the way around. Doesn't excuse what happened yesterday. Dominic is in East Rochester. Dominic, welcome back.
Hey,
haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. Thanks, guys. Listen, I like you guys, but...
Oh, here it comes.
You're being way too calm. This was so bad that you are definitely being way too calm.
I got if they win things. Next week, will we be... Will we have be been too calm
now?
Yeah.
No. If they no, they have to win next week. They have to win next week.
I'm hard pressed to disagree with you on that one, Dominic.
And certainly it cannot look like this. Listen, I got two things. So much for not playing guys during the preseason.
There's the first one of the day. Dominic, valid point. Valid point.
Yeah. And secondly, and I know you'll have a field day with this because it's only one game, but this coaching staff better get this thing turned around or they better update their resumes as far as I'm concerned. So let me be the first one to say that. It was that bad. It was that bad.
Dominic, thank you very much.
There's a cartoon aspect to it.
10:34 Monday morning after the first game, the first Fire Stefanski of the season.
Back,
Dominic, like way to go, baby.
Can we save that phone call? That had like a cartoon feel to it.
It's like a warm hug.
They better figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Hey.
Careful, boo-boo.
Look out there, hey. That's a picnic bag. Oh, no, it's not. That's a dropped a football.
Thank you, Andrew. Folks, are we being... Is calm the... If it happens again, you've got major issues. They lost a game to a good team and looked like garbage doing it. Let's not hide that fact. They were bad.
You've kind of brought me back to rational because I was a little irrational at one point after the game yesterday. Yeah,
no way.
I mean, the hard part is I can't like. It's week one and they've had bad games before and they've looked bad, but it is two bad games in a row. It is. I don't know. We've lived with winless seasons around here, so. I think that either I'm just completely numb or I was so mad yesterday that they just didn't show up, man. That's the worst part of the whole thing. The Browns didn't show up yesterday. Nationally televised audience. The fans were out in full force. They were
Tom Brady was there.
Our fans were amazing yesterday. Yeah, I know it felt like there were a lot of Dallas fans, but our fans were amazing yesterday, and they didn't show up for them, and that's the difficult part.
And that's a problem. That's Andy Askin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Jake Murren's taking your phone calls today. Jake, welcome. 216-474-0092. Folks, we're going to talk to all of you today. So just keep on calling. Dan Menigan's flying our ship. I've received a couple of emails already from folks, and we're hearing it on calls. We're being too calm. Look, let's just check it into the reality column here for a second, okay? Most all of us have followed football a long time. It's a 17-game season, and this was game number one. They were lousy yesterday. Lousy. Against what I think is a pretty good football team. But the Browns were lousy. They looked unprepared. They looked overmatched. The backup tackles didn't get the job done. DeJuan Jones didn't have the best of days. The offensive line as a whole didn't have the best of days. Okay, that's all true. The defense, there were 33 points on the board. Not all on the defense. The offense put him in some bad spots. Special team scored a touchdown for Dallas. Defense wasn't good. All that said, I'm not freaking out today. But if they play as poorly as they did against Dallas, against Jacksonville next week, you got some issues.
Jeff, let's just say I'm disappointed.
Disappointed's probably the best word. Anger, I can't get angry about this. I don't get angry about sports very often. But I do get disappointed, and I try and think of things in a reasonable manner. Why? Because we've been doing this too long, and we've been following sports too long.
It's one of those things. It's like if you have the coaching staff, you talk to them like they're your kids right now. Guys, I'm really disappointed. It's like you didn't take the assignment seriously. It's not like you had months to prepare for this game, and you didn't study, and you didn't do your homework, and so when it came time to take the test, why are we surprised that you failed? That's what it feels like right now. And maybe they can pick it up. Maybe they'll start studying a little bit harder this week. I'm disappointed in the offensive line. I'm disappointed in The quarterback, I am disappointed in the coaching staff, in particular the head coach, because I'm just saying, at the end of the game, that was bothersome to me that if he left Deshaun in at the end of the game because he didn't want to come out, man, it's whose team is it? Whose team is it if you're doing that? That to me is, there was no reason for it. I don't even care about the can of worms that you would open if you brought Jameis in. Who cares? You're down touch. And that's the perfect scenario to bring in your backup. So your quarterback doesn't get hurt because he's already been sacked six times. He's coming off of shoulder surgery. He didn't have a good game. I mean, how much more do I need to get into it to say, why was he on the field at the end of the game other than the fact he said, don't take me out? Who's the coach?
We've had a couple of people ask, okay, if you move on from Deshaun Watson, you know, when do you make that move, blah, 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 blah. And again, I've been saying for some time, if you get through this year and it's not working, I think you've got to figure out somebody else to play quarterback. However, here's Menigan with reality check for you.
All right, here's your cold bucket of water in the morning. So Deshaun Watson, because of the levers that have been yanked in his contract to drop that number to make it work. So next year, if you were to cut him post June 1st,
yep,
it would be $118 million. Okay.
Almost 118, meaning what?
108. So basically you would take $118 million and you would light it on fire. That would be the best way to put it.
In other words, $118 million you could not spend on other players.
Exactly. Okay. You cannot spend that on any other player. So that's part one. Now, the part that makes this even more hurtful is the fact that even rolling the cap space, and I'm using this all over the cap, and I'm going to try really hard not to make this complicated. You can roll over cap space, right? Which is what the Browns are doing right now. So they are looking right now to roll over about $48 million. They are looking at being $65 million over the cap right now, and they only have 45 guys on the roster. So to build a full NFL roster, you're probably going to have to yank the lever on that contract again and make his cap number for the year after $84 million. So in other words, the Browns need Deshaun Watson if they want to field a team next year. Because getting rid of him, you will probably have to tear this thing down to the studs.
That said, let me just throw this out. Doesn't mean you have to play him.
Correct.
Okay.
You could definitely say, hey, here's your money. Go sit at home. But
what a nightmare that would be.
That would be awful.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Ryan's in Sandusky. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Rhino.
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah. Hey, is this the room I check into for Browns Therapy Monday?
Unfortunately, yes, it is.
Man, I tell you, man.
Thank you, Jeff. Little Brown knows it. For being a voice of meaning. Reasoning, what I mean by that is obviously you alluded to being devil's advocate while you kept him in there, Watson. That was just garbage time, which was obviously he just didn't play anything in preseason. The other one is obviously he alluded to. It's the beginning of the season rationality. I was there in 99 when we lost 43-0 to the Pittsburgh Pukes, and they dominated that stadium just like the Cowboys fans yesterday, just really pushing the envelope. And I go to a lot of away games, and we don't do that as Browns fans. They were really obnoxious, but that's a second story altogether. The game at hand, you know, that's what matters. Watson just, you know, he just was – I don't know who that intruder was because we saw what he's capable of doing out of Super Baltimore. And just, he is just a conundrum, man. Cause you want him so badly to succeed. Like he did, obviously winning the MVP not too long ago. We're hopeful we can get something like that. Even a glimmer of hope with that type of capability. And obviously we have guys waiting in the wings, Winston. I mean, just everything about it, man. I mean, I know when Tim Couch cried, when the fans were really barking at him, when he cried on the field yesterday, a lot of words were said about Watson, even from not just us as fans, but Cowboy fans, and just get him out of the mentality and a lot of other stuff. But again, I just don't know what to do. I throw my hands up. But the good news is we have a full season in front of us, man. And that game we did lose 43-0 versus Steelers, we did come back and win 16-15 the later on in the season. So this season's far from over. This ship can get corrected. It sucks. It stinks. We lost yesterday. We took our lumps. Now we got to right the ship. We as Browns fans, I'll personally be there as well. in Jacksonville next week, man. I know we can get this W, but again, yesterday's game just really stinks. Just fun atmosphere all around. Obviously, during the game, anyone was there. But again, it's just a yuck. Didn't see that one coming.
All right, Ryan.
Guys, thanks for letting me. Yep, you have a great day.
You got it, buddy. Enjoy Jacksonville. And by enjoying Jacksonville, I mean, thank God, let's please hope the Browns play better. David's in Cleveland. David.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, how y'all fellas doing today?
We're hanging in. Therapy Monday.
Yes, it is. I can say so many things. I just want to say a few things here. During the time we got Watson, we were getting ready to get Watson before he started going through the thing he was going through in Houston. Watson was a top five quarterback, in my opinion. A lot of people, when we said we were going to get Watson, a lot of people were very excited that we were getting Watson, get rid of Baker. And I was one of those, get rid of Baker. And I still say get rid of Baker. Now, to go to the game, I had already said for the game, if they didn't address that offensive line and get a running back, it was no chance. The man was out there running like he was running for his life. You could have put Brady back there, and it wouldn't have made a difference. Jerome Ford is a backup for Chubb. No deal. They knew that. You didn't even try to upgrade on that. So, I mean,
maybe they have upgraded on that. I was stunned Deontay Foreman didn't play yesterday.
I was, too. I couldn't get that.
He was out there, but he didn't get a carry.
Foreman's no not carries. The answer.
And Pierre Strong had two.
Yeah, he's not the answer. So if they don't adjust that offensive line, I mean, you spend all that money on that man, you're supposed to invest in your offensive line. And that run, and that, okay, Chubb was there, but he got hurt. Okay, let's go out and get us another running back.
David, thank you very much. They did go get another running back. They didn't even carry yesterday. Maybe Foreman's dinged up. I don't know. But he didn't get a carry. I was surprised at that. I thought we'd see a balance. Jerome Ford had 12 carries. And again, the game got away from him fast, so they're going to throw the ball a lot more. But Ford had only 12 carries, and Pierre Strong had two. That's 14 carries from your running backs. I'm going to go with game on that, Andy, more than anything else.
Yeah, and then when you get behind, you start throwing the ball. So
well, and yes, but I was surprised Foreman didn't get a carry yesterday and that Strong only got two. If you're on hold, we will get to your calls. Don't worry about that. It's coming up about 11:20. Scott Petrak from BrownZone.com covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Up next here on Baskin and Phelps.